This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Our football podcast, MWR.com, is the website you can find stuff we write about, screw around with, make rankings, all sorts of things. Today, Matt's not unavailable to join us. We have somebody else who does amazing work. Colorado State, he's tired. We got our buddy Josh here to talk about all the games. Plus, we'll get to Colorado at some point. And are you okay? Did you survive the late nights of everything?
Yeah, that game took over 4 hours because it kicked off at 8 and it didn't end until 1:30, excuse me, because it was double overtime. But even without overtime, it was still a 4-hour game.
It was long and ridiculous because I was working, and we'll get to that game in chronological order like we typically do. I was working. Okay, I'm like, God, I'm going to stay at the office doing stuff, watching overtime. No, I'm like, okay, I could record it. It's already recorded, so I'll come home and watch and not. And just take my 10-minute drive home. Mm-hmm. I'm fast-forwarding. I'm like, okay. I go, okay, let's go like the 3:40 mark, 3-hour 40 mark. It's still midway through the fourth quarter. I know it started 20 minutes late, but I was like, dang, now the game lasted forever. Yeah. But we'll get to that later. We're going to start Friday night. Josh, what do we make of Utah State and Air Force? Air Force 39-21. Wasn't that close. Utah State any good? Like, I was watching this game. I'm like, they switched quarterbacks, which is a good move. Air Force looked amazing and dominant, up 22-0 with blinking the eye in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Utah State. Do we have an idea of what they're up to or what's going on?
I feel like this is the same thing that happened to them against CSU last year, where they had to play like four different quarterbacks. Where it's like they were coming in off of a good stretch, and then they didn't do well. I mean, they won the CSU game last year. But they kind of laid an egg. It was like, how do you lay an egg after beating a team 78-28?
Yeah, you can't screw around and fluke your way into almost 80 points.
Yeah.
I don't care who you're playing, right?
Yeah. I do think, like, what is Hillstead? Is he a freshman?
Yeah. True freshman. He's going to be the guy. I think he's going to be the guy. He looks good. Like, Cooper, the guy was overthrowing guys, not doing well, interception he had. And he's seen Kay Hillstead, like, he's throwing darts, he's getting passes where only his guy can get it. And I'm like, he's making throws that you don't typically see. And he ended up with three touchdown passes. amazing second quarter beyond. That it was not good for Legat in the first quarter. It was defense was – it's not only the offense well, but defense didn't help themselves with Falcons running back like Emmanuel Mitchell, I believe, Michael. Three touchdowns. Only – this is a ridiculous Air Force stat here, Josh. I'll tell everybody this. Typically, okay, 6 yards a carry, five – big explosive plays. The long run for Emmanuel was 8 yards on the night. He had three touchdowns. He ran only 3.8 yards per carry, 106 yards and 28 attempts. I'm like, that's so a weird Air Force. Like, typically, would see what Owen Burke did, who had 110 yards and averaged 7 yards a carry with the big long play. His Emmanuel Michael's stats are a little. I'm not gonna say Jordan Bettis. It's not like he had 2 carries for 1 yard and 2 touchdowns. But his yards per play and long is unique for the Falcons offense for being kind of just accumulating numbers.
Yeah, but I feel like that's typical for the triple option fullback. I feel like the running back last year was the not the norm for that offense. Yeah.
Or Brad Roberts, those type of guys. It's true, but it's just unique, long of 8 yards. But yeah. What are we – because Air Force, here's one thing I'm looking at. San Diego State's a dang good football team. Like, Air Force was struggling last week versus him, couldn't run the ball. They finally broke through that late in the second half to win, 13-3, I believe it was, a really close game. Yeah. And so we're thinking, okay, what is the Air Force up – what are they up to? Because they played their FCS team week one. It was Robert Morris. And they just did kind of what they wanted to do versus Utah State. In the second half, they kind of – Utah State figured a few things out. But when they're up 22-0, 32-7 and a half – maybe Utah, I think Utah State found something in their quarterback, clearly, but there's still a mystery to me, like last year, because Weber State getting their butt kicked last year, FCS team, destroyed versus Alabama, played a million quarterbacks because everybody got hurt. They brought, and here's the dumbest play call. They bring in, what does Levi Williams do, John? If you put in Levi Williams for one play at quarterback, what is he doing?
He's running he can't throw to save his life.
The most obvious play on shotgun on, was it, of some goal line play at the 4-yard line. Oh, let's do a step, not even a step back to attempt. Just to catch and go. I'm like, everybody in the world knew what was coming, Coach Anderson. Like, that was the worst play call ever. At least do some sort of fake, some sort of do something to make the defense, oh, he might actually do something, but that was stupid. And he got two attempts for minus 1 yard. There's no running game really for Utah State because I thought, oh, you have Briggs didn't even play. I'm not entirely sure why the transfer. He didn't do anything this game. Like, they had Utah State's just. Maybe they're going to be better with this guy, with Hillstead, but Utah State's been the weirdest team to pass, like, ever since they won the conference title, the Pat last year and so far this year, they're like, I don't know what to make of them.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Utah State, they gave up 5 sacks.
Yeah.
They're two of their first, of their first 4 drives, 2 of them ended in turnovers.
Yeah.
The one that really killed them was they got down to Air Force's 23 and Cooper Legault threw an interception. I like Hillstead. I watched that game. I had it on. Mm-hmm. He did great for them. My only concern is he's listed at 5'10".
List, air quotes, listed.
Yeah. So I was like, he had a 2/3 completion percentage. He was 202 yards with 3 touchdowns. I mean, we'll see if he can keep it up, but
we'll see. We'll see, because we've seen this a lot where look at UNLV last year where quarterback Doug Brumfield goes out. They have like Justin Rogers come in, a bunch of different guys, or any team that brings a new quarterback mid-game, they'll get that burst of adrenaline and, oh, crap, the other team's like, who's this guy? We've never seen him before. They play well. Next week, they're playing James Madison, who's a good team at home. But it's like they'll be in the situation where he prepares, but – his success rate may not be there because, oh, I'm getting the playing time. I come in, I do well. I see that a lot. Not to say, like, oh, put to Kaveh. You never know. Maybe he's just that good. But Madison, they'll get to see what he did last week versus Air Force, I guess, a couple days ago. And he'll actually get a full – assuming he's a start, that would make the most sense. He played quite well. But it could be that adrenaline factor. You get in, you just go out there and sling it. Mm-hmm. And then he could come back to earth a bit. There's a concern with that, but – Utah State, they showed enough to me. I'm like, okay, there could be something there with him and the second half. But Air Force, this conference, like, we talk about all these games. Air Force is really good. Utah State looks to be frisky. Wyoming's better than I thought they were. Fresno State, CSU, and the Colorado game we'll talk about, they look much improved with the Norvell air passing offense we'll see there. We got we'll see a Boise State can do. Who knows? UNLV beat Vanderbilt. Like, this league's going to be wild and crazy overall. It's interesting. All right, let's go to the next game. There's nothing more mentioned on this game. Let's go to, I guess, the next game. Is it technically Texas-Wyoming? Is that the next game on our list here?
Hold on. Let me pull up.
If we're going time order, do we need to be 100% accurate on this?
Well, I mean, if you want to, give me a second. I'll pull up my bet. I'll pull up my bets article. I put it in order.
I did.
Oh, no. It was Boise State because they kicked off at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I don't want to spend too much time in this game. They won 42-18. I do remember, like there was an early game. I don't know why. Maybe I have Texas as a favorite team for some reason. I don't know why.
But I will say, I have two things to take away from this game. Eric McAllister is a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And this game was closer than the score indicated.
It was, yeah, it was 21-6 at halftime. It took Boise a minute to get going. Yeah, I kind of watched part of the Evan McAllister, your point, two touchdowns, 100-something yards. It's not like North Dakota did a lot to move the ball because they only had 18 points. They didn't run the ball. They only had a yard of play running the ball. Passing wasn't great. But it was close. It took a minute. Yeah. It was like a slow burn.
Here's the other thing. North Dakota only had 183 yards. So.
Yeah. Turnovers for Boise State to keep it close. They had three. Yeah. And you're right, because I was watching the game, like, wait, first quarter, I was kind of watching, following along, because I had some stuff in the morning. Okay, they're up 7-0. It happens, you kind of get a slow start, but Boise punts multiple times. They do get the recover fumble, they score a touchdown a couple plays later, but in the second half, interception led to a touchdown, fumble led to a touchdown. Like, there were times where this, like, single plays, not like going drives, like four or five, six, seven plays, those turnovers were on the first play of the possession, two of them. And it's, I think, was it two or three? Two are like that. But it's game, like, it's, George Lonnie didn't play again, didn't need him to play just because whatever happened last week. I guess it's good to see John Brady's Dubard come in and play, but it was just, they were going to win. This is also kind of a pretty good team, even though, Josh, they keep it, it's kind of closer to what we think because turnovers allowed North Dakota to come in. But how many teams lost FCS? Like, look at, well, we've seen FCS upset. Yeah, Stanford, I was going to mention. Yeah, Troy Taylor beat his old team. Or lost his old team. Lost his old team. Apologies. Sac State beat Stanford. So you never know what could happen. Idaho was beat the crap out of Nevada. Idaho was beating Cal this weekend until Cal pulled away. And so you win by 20-something points. That's good. But they've got a few things to clean up. Like, there's not much to take away just besides not losing. But don't turn the ball over. And it is good to see a receiver, because that's Josh, you've seen this team. Like, what receivers they have. What's Stephen Cobb's going to do? What's all these guys, Riley Smith, going to do?
Yeah.
Billy Bone. So seeing a receiver step up is hopefully good for the future for those fans at Broncos.
Yeah.
Next game, there's no more to talk about. FCS victory. Is it, what's the next order? Do you have in front of you? I can go off.
Oregon State, San Diego State.
26-9. Was the score.
Yeah.
And they covered, which helped me quite a bit. I don't know, something I did over the weekend, so appreciate that happening. The chainsaw. Is that the big story of the game?
The turnover chainsaw. Well, so that is a Pacific Northwest thing, because the soccer team actually does the same thing. The Portland Timbers, they whenever they score a goal, they literally have like a lumberjack take a chainsaw and cut a piece off of like a log. So it at least it's thematic throughout. So it at least makes sense. So there's the highlight video of the offensive lineman catching the pass, and Matt tweeted something, and I forget exactly what he tweeted, but I responded with, I was like, you know, this is one of those, you know, those, the, how did I word it? It was something along the lines of, this is one of those games that teams just throw everything in the game plan, even if it's not going to work, because they want to practice it in game situations. And like, this is that game for Oregon State. And you could tell, because I listened to the game for a little bit before turning it off. And one of the things I heard was that DJ, the Oregon State quarterback, I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name. Yeah. Had 11 interceptions, or not interceptions, excuse me, incompletions coming into this game.
He had
16, but he averaged 9 yards.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was tearing it up downfield.
Yeah, he had 14 completions for 284 yards, one touchdown and two interceptions. So San Diego State's defense is still there, kind of.
You're right, kind of. Forcing completions, forcing turnovers. But let's see, 75-yard play to Anthony Gold, 31 yards to Jack Valle, 31 to Silas Bolden, 35 to Rhea Munagji, I'm going to say. They're very explosive on the downfield. Every time he threw the ball, it was caught for 9.5 yards.
Yeah.
And so, even if it's dropped, so you're right, defense is kind of there, where forcing interception. But the offense, it's weird. It's Jalen made it 250 yards. 66 completion percentage rate. That's really good for what we typically see from an Aztecs quarterback. Running game, Jalen Armstead, okay, a touchdown, but it's non-existent. Like I put in, I don't remember something I wrote up, I forget what it was, earlier in the week. Or maybe it's a power rankings thing I put up on midweek. Okay, they are above average defense, not elite. Quarterbacks, okay. Running backs, barely average. This team can't win consistently if their defense isn't elite and their running game is above average. Quarterback play seems to be middle of the pack at times. Maybe I haven't done my QB rankings this year. I might start up this week because I want to see everybody play. But they're not elite. If they're not elite defense, they're not a good team.
Yeah.
And Oregon State's really, really good. So what they did defensively was great, but what do they do with the turnovers? They weren't able to convert as much as they wanted to and everything, where they only scored 9 points, 6 in the second half. They got the field goal in the first. They missed a field goal as well. I wonder how long that one was. I didn't see. Yeah, it's a 48-yarder. That's a college kicker. But also, you have Oregon State missing field goals. But on the turnover front, they got the touchdown, but then they went back-to-back interceptions. So they missed 2 field goals in the game. They're off. I thought Ryan Lindley being there would help them throw the ball a bit more, which it is. But the running game and offensive line is not helping. They can't be what they used to be. It's where they had. I know we're not expecting Donald Pumphrey or Rashard Penny to come in for 2,000-yard seasons, yeah. But they're not running the ball. There were 6 sacks in this game, Josh. 6 sacks, yeah. 9 TFLs. It's ridiculously bad.
Let me look at San Diego State's schedule.
Real quick. They have 0 sacks and 42 for their defensive front, so there's that to consider as well.
But so you're playing Air Force.
Good luck.
Fresno State for the last game. You got CSU. They're skipping Wyoming, so they don't have to face that defensive front. But they're not going to survive on that.
No. What do they do good? Tell me what is one thing, if you tell me, Josh, what does San Diego State do extremely well?
Be average.
That's not what you want.
if you were to just look at the quarterback's box score, it's actually not bad. It's 10 of 16, so 5 of 8. So yeah, it's 50 something. Well, questions that actually isn't that good. It's 62% or something like that for 256 yards.
For asset QB, that's really good.
Yeah. But they just couldn't finish drives. It's similar to Utah State a little bit. They just couldn't finish.
They're down 5 of 15. Defense did fine. DJU had all 16 incompletions, picked them off twice. 4 of 11 on third down allowed. They were outgained, obviously, but the rushing game was not great. They had a couple of big plays they'd given up, but they're just a team where if they're not elite defense, they struggle. 9 points, man. You're gonna tell me this Air Force defense they play is going to just no, they're not gonna move the ball against Air Force. Fresno State shut up. What everyone think about ASU, they shut them out. They struggled versus Idaho State. They should have lost. They would have lost to Iowa if Rourke was not injured. Because Ohio, I think beat a Big Ten team. Or they beat this past weekend. They beat somebody really low scoring game.
They beat Iowa State.
That's what it was. Iowa State. Yeah, low scoring game. But so they beat a Big 12 team. Think of the other Iowa team there. It was 10-7. They struggled offensively because they beat FAU by a little bit. They barely beat Long Island. But Aztecs don't do anything great. If you want to be contender, you're going to be at least great at something. And yeah. They're missing field goals. Offensive line can't block anybody, which means you can't run the ball, which means you're relying on Maiden. And he had to run. Okay, this is credited runs. I'm assuming includes sacks. He had 14 carries, 9 yards, and along the 24 before sack yards are included. And he was sacked 6 times. I don't know, man. They're just an okay team, Mike. Like, are they even good? Like, you see their average. Like, are they – who's – have you done your power rankings this week? Have you looked over the teams yet and what you're considering?
Yeah, I put it in. I think I put them bottom half.
Yeah, because like,
– I put them below CSU.
Hey, CSU showed up. We'll get to them in a minute. But, yeah, they showed up and played. So, I put them around Utah State kind of at this point.
Yeah.
Where that's lower, because I think even though San Jose State lost to Toledo, we'll get to that, but I don't think they're better than Air Force, not better than Boise, not better than Fresno, maybe UNLV range, I don't know. There's a lot of muddling in there, but we'll see. All right, what do we got next year? What's your order?
Vanderbilt and UNLV.
Hey, Rebels, you overcome a big deficit and win? That's very surprising and awesome. There you go.
I will say, UNLV had the big lead at one point. Well, what was it? 30-17, UNLV was up at one point.
Yeah, well, I know they overcame and they're behind and got the lead. They scored 20 second quarter points. They were up, what, 20? Yeah, they're up 30-17. I shouldn't say big lead. They were down a bit to Vanderbilt. Nothing crazy. But think of it this way. When's the last time you've seen a UNLV team come back from 17-0 and be competitive? Not very often. If that happens, they're losing 44-7.
Yeah, I mean they should have lost this game. I mean, Vanderbilt had 4 turnovers. They fumbled the ball 5 times.
Oh my goodness, so bad.
Their quarterback was responsible for 2 of those. He threw an interception that was returned for a touchdown. I mean, Vanderbilt got it back. I'm not saying he's not without fault. They fumbled. Vanderbilt returned that for a touchdown.
Doesn't help, yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing about this, you had no Doug Brumfield, or he barely played. You had Jaden Maiva play quite well.
I think Brumfield got hurt.
That's why Matt didn't play. He had to pick. But so that's good. Not good, but that he came in and did what he wanted to do and move the ball a bit. So they have this big lead. And I don't remember, when's the last time they had that big lead you mentioned against any team, let alone, yes, it's Vanderbilt. Yes, it's whatever you want to make your jokes about the Commodores and SEC team number 13 or 14 or whatever. Maybe 14 or 14 because Missouri did win this weekend over K-State. But Rebels don't beat these teams or beat these type of games, win these type of games when they get behind, they get up, they give up 20. You tell me they give up 20 fourth quarter points? Like, that's usually go. It's a disaster. Not going to happen.
The last performance I can maybe think of is the triple overtime win over Wyoming.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the Campus Insiders game we finally found like 2 years ago.
I had some random guy DM me on Reddit with a link to it.
Amazing. Yeah, those type of games. Yeah, that game is one of the craziest ones in conference history. But like, they almost gave this game away. Like the interception at the end, like you mentioned, the missed field goal. And then Rebels go down and rebound. Like that field goal, a 33-yard field goal and you miss it? Like maybe UNLV could have moved the ball and scored, but there's 45 seconds left in the game when that was missed, and I figured the game was over. And so if we go backwards, like, okay, good recovery, missed a field goal, interception. That fourth quarter's bonkers, 30 points. What I like about UNLV, like Ricky White showed up for once. Like he had a huge game with a new quarterback with 165 yards.
Yeah, but he didn't score.
Okay. Why, are you concerned about that? Do you have a player prop?
So how many touchdowns did UNLV actually score? Hold on. I got one. 3? Offensive touchdowns, I counted. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, they scored 40 points and 3 offensive touchdowns.
Love it.
Two of them were rushing, but only one of them was passing.
It's okay. That's fine. Hey, 40 points to 40 points, man.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I'm fine with that, right? Why not? They had the fumble return for the touchdown, which is nice. They had a lot of field goals. They missed field goals.
Yeah.
They converted on both turnovers. Here's the big thing. Their defense helped the offense out, returning both fumbles for touchdowns. One was returned on the play, and one was obviously not in the first, a little bit third quarter, to go up 30-17, where they had the fumble recovery and then went down the field. I'm not sure of the severity of Doug Brumfield, but it's good to see Maiva come in and do well. Running game, still, they ran a million guys, whatever. It worked well enough, right?
Yeah.
So, Rebels, six wins, maybe? Is this a six-win rep team we're talking about?
Let's see.
2-1,
they got, maybe. They got UTEP next. That's probably a win.
I think they can handle it. Well, don't tell Boise State fans. I'll tell you that's not a win at all. Because last year,
they lost to Arizona 31-10. And they lost to Northwestern 38-7. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. They got Hawaii's not great. Nevada, we'll see. They have a reasonably favorable schedule. All right. Anything else on the Rebels? Or they got the win and good for them?
They got the win and good for them.
That's excellent. All right, what are we going next? Are we going to Texas, Wyoming? Are we there yet?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cowboys. No, we're on San Jose State and Toledo.
I hated this game. They lose 21-17.
On a pick six.
I know. I'm like, here's what's annoying. So if everybody saw the PFF college post, which was totally inaccurate over the weekend,
the shitter thing, which is funny.
He picked pick two.
Both threw a pick this weekend.
I know. So what it was, they put the quarterback with the most attempts without interception, 90, which is good, clearly. And then Twitter, I didn't know Twitter has this like a note section to kind of verify or fact check. PFF says, it's actually, at ESPN stats, it's San Jose State Siobhan Cordero who had 91 attempts with zero interceptions. And so that was funny. I'm surprised they kept it up for so long. I'm like, you guys, I pay for the website and you guys do that simple stat. And you miss it?
Did they finally delete it?
I never saw it deleted. It was there throughout. So they're sticking in her because they want to take advantage of Colorado. They could have said to be the lame Power 5 quarterback. Like, that's stupid.
Well, I saw a lot of people saying, like, oh, well, he played one more game. And a lot of people are like, so?
That's a new defense you're facing, too, right?
Yeah.
And it's one completion, right? You know what I mean? It's not like it was an Air Force quarterback or Army or Navy guy or some triple option team that was – well, that's different. Never mind. That doesn't make sense. I'm moving on from that. I think I said something backwards. 21-17 they lose. Pick six. Cordero threw his first interception of the year. Can I just complain about Kyrie Robinson again? I don't want to talk about him, but I need to. Because every time if he – right? He's so frustrating.
Hold on, let me look at his career stats real quick, because I didn't think he was that good coming in.
He's always been, like, hit or miss. Like, he's always been the main running back. But, like, this, for example, this game, 14 carries, 50 yards, a touchdown, 3.6 yards per carry. I mean, he should be getting – I'm not saying he should be like, the best runner in the conference, but give me 75 yards a game for your main running back. The way they throw the ball, you think it would open up the ground game. For how good it was, Shane.
Well, who did he have the touchdowns? I guess it was all came against Cal Poly.
Yeah,
he has four touchdowns on the year. He only has two. He has 39 carries for 202 yards.
But the Cal Poly game had 150 yards against Cal Poly.
Yeah, so he's 50 yards in all of his other games. Yeah, no. I mean, his career long run is 39.
Wow, that's interesting. Like,
I mean, he is 5'7", 190, so he's kind of small. He was nominated for the award, but I saw a stat line. I'm like, eh.
He's okay. They need, like, Cole Conley, who came from Utah Tech, to be a bit better. That would help a lot. Like, if you have two guys who get 130 yards a game, approximately, these guys got 61 in this game. But if you get two backs that go, like, a 70 and a 75 and 55 guy, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
But he also carries the bulk of the ball 14 times. He's just a guy kind of – maybe I'm making too much of it, but I just noticed, like, when they lose or don't play well, he's usually the reason why there's something's not going right. And it doesn't – like, and I'm glad Nick Nash finally showed up because he had negative yards passing last – or receiving last week. He had a big game. But the pick six just killed. Like, they couldn't move the ball. Like, the first quarter, nothing. Toledo's defense was holding them down. Even though San Jose State did better on third down, they were aggressive on fourth down, didn't get any. They had fewer penalties, fewer turnovers, and they still lose this game. They're plus two and can't take care of business. They should have won this game.
Do I guess I just have to ask this question. Does anybody in this conference have an offensive line?
Air Force, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because they don't pass.
So, I don't. Hey, running's important in football, if you haven't noticed, Josh.
No, I know. It was like Toledo had 5 sacks.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. They only had 92 passing yards. Wow.
Yeah. Like, the fourth quarter was abysmal. After they got the touchdown, they're up 17-7. Okay, they're up 17-7 in this game. Then they, next possession, 3-place punch, pick 6, 5 plays, 3 plays, 4 plays turnover and downs. Then they end the game with, they punt the freaking ball with 1:56 left. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's 4th-and-18, coach. Go for it, man. What's your deal? You were sitting at basically midfield. What were you expecting to do? I don't know their timeout situation. So, I mean, I wonder if they – let's see, timeout. And they had 2 timeouts in that situation. Like, okay, maybe, but you have a really good quarterback. You have some receivers out there. Move – do something. Don't. I don't care if it's 4th-and-18. Set yourself up earlier because there was a freaking – what was it, the sack on 3rd-and-10? That was the problem. It's like, wait, it's just frustrating. My coaches do that. Like, you're down 4. You 2 minutes left. You've done nothing all. You've done nothing all game outside of this drive. Go for it. This is your only drive in the fourth quarter that was worth anything, or even the second half actually. Not even that, because the touchdown they scored was still 4 plays in the short field. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. You can tell. I'm mad at this team. What's going on? I thought they were going to be good.
I mean, we all thought it. I think losing the weapons on offense hurt. Losing their defense has kept them in a lot of games the past couple of years. I think it's finally starting to catch up to them.
Yeah, they lose Flemmi Fehoko and Cade Hall. That's a big loss.
Yeah.
But, and then they got, yes, 7 TFLs, 5 sacks. We'll figure out that. That's a good point. The offense, I want to figure that out. All right, what do we got next year? Next game.
Wyoming, it's that time. It's Wyoming.
Hook 'em. No, I shouldn't say that on the spot. I should say horns down. That's what the right term is for this game. Wyoming.
So quick side note before we start. Maybe Wyoming has the offensive line because they only gave up 1 sack.
Yeah, there it is against the Texas. Yeah, there you go. 31-10. This game was Wyoming tied 10-10 third quarter. All it came down to, honestly, and I didn't watch this game. I can't. I don't have Longhorn Network, so I'm just spitting stuff here. But fourth quarter, I guarantee what happened. It's just too hot because it's a late afternoon game. They're just getting beat up. It was just Texas just has more big guys out there.
Yeah.
But if you look at the overall numbers this game, we'll get to that fourth quarter in a minute, but Wyoming did what they need to. Won the possession battle for 38 minutes. They were even on turnovers, fewer penalties. They held Texas to 4-12 on third down. So they did a lot to think, hey, there's a reason they could win this game. But they get tired. They get just – in fourth quarter, just the depth isn't quite there for what you think – for going up against a team that beat Alabama last week, and they're not great right now this year. But they're still a team that people really, really like. Like, the problem was, wasn't there the pick 6 isn't up either. That was a pretty big deal. I'm noticing that here. The Jared Thompson picked off. So it's like, okay, there's Zapp. That kind of just – that basically sealed the game because they're down 7 – or should be down 14 with 9 minutes left in the game. So, okay, there's a chance. They're driving. They had moved a couple plays. But that field goal, that 17 play – this is totally an academy drive, Josh, here. You see this drive, 17 plays, 77 yards, 10-22. That's how they're trying to win a game.
Well, it was like you said, we keep mentioning we'll get to CSU, but it was like CSU had almost the same drive. I'm like, that's what it takes for Mountain West teams to win big games. It's like, you have to have those long, sustained drives.
And the depth, too, if there's that. Because we'll talk about the Colorado State last the little bit they have. I thought they had it. But, yeah, this matchup is good. So, they even Quinn Ewers, who – I don't know if they were just beat Alabama, it's Wyoming, whatever. There could be a little bit of, okay, we're playing this team. We probably should win. And the score's closer than what it was, clearly, because Texas kind of just – not just, even if they won 24-10, people are still questioning a 3-touchdown win.
Yeah.
But they, like, Quinn Ewers didn't play extremely well. Not they needed to. Jonathan Brooks is what really killed them. But also he had, for the running back, had 61 yards on one carry. So, but I don't know. It was a...
Even if you take that away, that's still 5 yards of carry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's still good. And then you see Harrison Whaley untouched for his first touchdown. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the running game's there. He had 110 yards. So he had that huge 60-yard play. It's like, ooh, this game's going on. But that's the man. Brooks killed him. They didn't throw to that many receivers. They threw reasonably deep. Did a couple big plays, but nothing wild outside of that 44-yarder. But Wyoming should be proud. And, like, Coach Bull's like, okay, we showed that we could play with a really good team for most of the game. And their defense did pretty well. For the most part. I wish I could watch this again. Maybe I'll go find some YouTube. Or there's a YouTube page. It's like Josh. Let me find what it is. It's this guy. It's called – what's his name here? They do like – I'll watch. If I can't watch all these games, got to prepare for this and stuff. They'll put games like for like 45 minutes. Like it's not those games.
Oh, yeah. It's like CFB in 30 minutes or something like that.
It's called something else, but they'll do a handful of games. I can't find it now. I don't know what people know about it because it's such a good. It's something the guy likes ball. I forget. Oh, why can't I find it? I am annoyed right now that I can't find this. But I will. I know I put it in our. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Matthew loves ball. So you go there and he'll put games like they're quick. They may be like he puts them up quick. I mean, like they're about 25 to 35 minutes for college football, college basketball. But that's a good resource. If you ever miss a game, you're going, okay, I saw the 10-minute extended highlights, or the Mountain West highlights are 3 minutes. I want to see a bit more. So they're like within 30-ish minutes, like right now, like what, South Carolina, Georgia. They have Stenson, Montana State. They have some weird games on here, Alabama, South Florida. But that's scary. That's why I don't think they even got it on here. Fresno State, if you want to go back and watch that, you can always do – that's what I kind of do sometimes. But I wish I could have seen even his website. He does not have that game. He does a sporadic number of games, so it's always weird to find, but that's a good one to go check out. But if you can find them, go find that game. I'd be curious to watch more of it and see how Wyoming did, because they should offensive line played well. They ran the ball pretty good, like really good, actually, like 4 yards a carry, and they're only sacked one time. So I'm fine with the performance. Most people are like, oh, they're going to beat them 50-10. Not the case.
Yeah, I do think it was a little bit of an Alabama hangover.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that. And then here's the thing, it took him until way late in the fourth quarter. That's better than halftime. Like, oh crap, we're only up 10-7. So there's that, but it took him forever to figure things out. So are you ready for it? Have you delayed long enough? Are you good? Or how are you feeling today?
I'm good. We can keep going.
Colorado State, Colorado. Was this all just stupid, everything before the game? All the stuff that's going on? Yes? Is that your short answer? Like,
it was like, because it was like, all right, we had Mark Jones, the ESPN announcer. I like Lewis Riddick. I think he's cool. But Mark Jones should never be allowed in the state of Colorado again.
Why is that?
Not for this game.
I had to mute for a lot of the reason. I for working. I listened here and there, and there's some weird stuff I heard. But what was he specifically saying about?
Well, no. It wasn't anything in this game. It's he has a Nikola Jokic tractor. So he should never be allowed to stay in Colorado again.
I see. Okay.
But it was Lewis Riddick was giving CSU their due.
Mm-hmm.
If Mark Jones wasn't forced to do it, he wouldn't have. It would have been all Deion the entire time.
That's what it seemed like. And I get that's the big story. But I told people, like, why work? Because we, it's all like, obviously, people are aware. So we talk a lot of Pac-12 Utah. We have other properties like in Denver. So we bring this one guy and talk about Denver stuff and talk Colorado. Because that's a huge story. Like, everybody's talking about it. When I was recording the preview podcast solo, that Jay Norville stuff came in right away. I'm like, oh, thank you. Give me an extra 5 minutes going solo to help fill some time to talk about this stuff. But they asked me, like, hey, you know the Mountain West stuff? I'm like, yeah. You know, they're like, oh, who, like, can Colorado State do anything? I'm like, yeah, it'll be tough. They change quarterbacks. But I specifically said, Torrey Horton, best receiver on the field, probably any game of the season, and definitely this one. And he showed it. Like, he's better than any. Like, that pass will get you. Like, when he, I'm like, trick play. He must be open because I didn't see it live. I go back. I'm like, that dude was covered. Perfect throw. But the receiving, like, NFL stuff, like, Rams have the receivers out there. They have their quarterback will get to with. We'll see what's going on because obviously they did not go with. Clay Millen. But overall, like, this is probably the most entertaining game of the day. You had Alabama, South Florida, that was close and interesting. I know Tennessee, Florida, but this game was the game of the day.
You had, I realized a lot of it was the prime effect, and it really was. But you had like you had CSU take advantage of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Torrey Horton in the past, but it was like, all right, for the first time in CSU history, CSU had three receivers go over 100 yards. It was like they took it. I think I was on the CSU board throughout the week after the comments, and we're like, a couple of people are like, Norvell was like, he purposely stated that those comments, and it's like, I believe it was kind of true, because he's like, all right, they're talking about us. They're not talking about us, so let me put something in their minds. So like, and one of my thoughts was like, he said this kind of like Sean Payton did with Russ when he made the comments about Hackett, where it's like, all right, you're going to come after me and leave them alone. Don't worry about them. Everything's fine. Just come after me. I'll take it. Let my guys concentrate. I'll take the brunt.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I was watching, I'm like, okay. I think I even put my article, I'm like, oh, he's totally telling his team something, because he's no dummy. Like, okay, game day going there, college football, whatever the Fox show is. I don't really watch this anymore, but whatever. They're there. It's a big deal. Like, they show because it's Colorado. Like, their season legitimately has been amazing. Nobody thought they'd be this improved this quickly.
Hold on.
No, I'm saying no. The winning, like, how they've won games. Like, they were pathetic the last year or two. Like, it's all Deion Sanders, but I mean, they won. There are three games last year. That's all I'm saying. They're winning better, but they're not. They're going to get their butt kicked when they play Oregon. They're a 20-point underdog for a reason this weekend.
I was like, if Nebraska had a competent quarterback,
I know,
they would have won that game.
Their defense is terrible.
Coming into the CSU game, CU was bottom 10 in rushing defense, bottom 20 in total defense. And they were giving up 6 sacks a game. So it was a perfect opportunity for CSU to go aggressive, which is what they did. And that was one of the things that got lost in the hat and glasses, whatever you want to call it.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. Norvell came out and said, you know, it was like he took the blame for the loss, and then he was conservative with his play call, and he admitted that, and he said it was his fault.
Go for two! What are you doing? Go for two to win.
Well, no. Hold on. This is before the game. This is on Wednesday.
Oh, we're moving ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine. We'll get to that too. But it was like, and then he caught a lot of flack from it from the fan base. And then in that coach's show, he's like, "Yeah, I'm tired of it. I'm not holding back. I was holding back to protect players, and you know, because they had all those transfers and injuries, and I was waiting for the offense to click. And it was like, I don't care anymore. It's like these kids are going to sink or swim." They got to keep up.
And this game started. There was the pregame fight. There was the.
Well, that wasn't a fight.
Not fight, but I mean, yeah, sorry, it's scuffle. Yeah. It was a Florida Tennessee, I should say. Yeah. I just felt like it was all. I loved it because everybody's talking about this team and other teams. Like, well, you're right. They didn't talk about us. But pregame stuff, like. This, like, I'm not from there. Like, this rivalry usually nobody gives a crap about because typically neither team for a while has been anything amazing to talk about. Yeah. It seemed like a big deal that night. Like, they rushed the field to victory. Cool. I love it. They're like, oh, they should win. They're 3-touch. Like, no, it's like, have fun. That game was exciting. I wouldn't care who played that game. If that was a game between 2-0-19 and 19, I'm just watching it and that happens, rush the field. I don't care if it's 10-0, 4-6. This game was beyond exciting. Third quarter, even that, but it was. I don't care. This lived up to more of the hype, and nobody thought everybody like bust by 50, bust by 80.
Yeah.
And Colorado. Terrible defense.
CSU lost this game absolutely. You know, play calling, discipline. We'll say it. Henry Blackburn's hit was dirty. There's no question about it.
Oh, that was, yeah.
It wasn't that. It was like, I keep seeing people call it targeting. That wasn't targeting. I'm sorry.
It was late and he wanted to do something. I don't know if he wanted to do something, but it was a pretty vicious hit.
Just for those listening, if you haven't heard the news, he supposedly has a ruptured spleen and is out for 4 weeks.
I have not. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's like, you never want to see it, but it's like, it's a rivalry game. It's a dirty hit.
Shouldn't have happened. I don't
shouldn't
think
it should have happened. Should. But it's like, we have seen worse plays. It's like, okay.
It sucks. It's bad.
Yeah, it wasn't like he hit him in the head either.
he's just diving late to get a guy, I think, seemed like.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah, that took away a lot of the game. Just like, oh, one of their best athlete out there is unavailable. And it would have been great. I was hoping to watch Torrey Horton versus Travis Hunter, see how this played out. Torrey Horton had one, what do you have, seven, I saw in overtime, what do you have, 16 catches and one drop? Is that it?
I think it was 16 and 17.
So yeah. For overtime, and let's start there, I guess. Well, let's go backwards, yeah. So this also, what's lovely about this game, it's back on campus, at least for this year, because it was
– It's back on campus for the rest of the schedule.
That's what I thought, yeah. I remember when they changed it. I remember it was like once a deck. It was weird. Like rarely it'd be back home and forth, and we're canceling the contract. We're doing this, so it's home and home, which is great. But the thing in this game, let's not go to the very end. Let's go to that when they're up 11. Like, I figured they score that they – first, I'm like,
wait. Well, hold on. I would go back just a step further. Because I want to give a shout-out to Dallin Holker, BYU transfer.
Hey, I told people I put him high in my top 50 list for the season. He's going to be a player, and he showed up.
I mean, he got a shout-out from Shannon Sharp on Twitter. I'll go back to Torrey Horton. He got a DM from Snoop.
Ah, was Snoop hanging out in Colorado, like, though, I thought? Wasn't he doing that, too?
Yeah, but it was like, Snoop knows football. He knows football.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Dallin Holker. The fortunate, he was the one that unfortunately fumbled, right? Was that the one on him?
Yeah, that was his fumble. It was fortunate.
It was like the guy got him from behind, like the
It was helmet on ball.
No, that's what I meant. No, I meant he didn't see it coming. It came from behind. Like if you watch it, it was like we knew the guy's diving to get the ball out, but it's you got to protect. You don't think so? I thought he didn't really see him there.
I thought he did, but I could be wrong. I was
hold the ball better too, right?
Yeah, he kind of like stretched it out a little.
But besides that, he had an amazing game. Like it was shocker. Like when he transferred BYU last year, I'm like, why are you leaving? Like after three or four games, you're like their best tight end. Like yeah. The guy they have now was hurt, and so he was hurt last year. Isaac Rex, he's back playing. And but like it was weird they transferred, and that's going to be a weapon to watch going forward. Like. Even Justice Ross Simmons, obviously, he's quite a good player. But, yeah, Holker did well. So, kind of the game, the third quarter, started off quick. Yeah, the pick six, like, that was not great. So, it's like, oh, no, they had the fumble return for touchdowns. All these turnover touchdowns were crazy and awesome to see.
We can question the play calling all day. But it was like, I started seeing CSU fans say he should have taken the field goal instead of taking the 15 yards.
No
coach in history would take the points there.
That shows you're scared in this game.
Yeah.
Like, it does suck. And people go, it's a 10-point swing, you take the points. I'm like, okay, yeah, but you would look like a complete idiot. I was thinking that, too. I'm like, I was for a minute, I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, would there be any chance you would take this? It's the second drive of the – or it's early in the game. You had an interception. Like, you go, okay, you're – it's a pretty long field goal because you got 15 yards. It was a 50-yarder just about, I think.
Yeah, I think it was exactly 50.
So I'm like, okay, they moved to the 20. I'm like, okay, whatever. If they get stopped, they'll kick a field goal again, right? What's the harm?
Yeah.
No, you're right. I thought about it. I was just trying to think, like, okay, you're allegedly, or I guess not allegedly, but you're officially a 3-plus touchdown underdog, four touchdown underdog, somewhere in that range. I forget. I think like 24 or something. But it means you're playing scared. I will take points. Our offense can't do anything. Like, yeah, it was a great play, but I was just trying to think, like, why would I take the points just because? Like, I figured, even if it's the farthest field goal back there, you're 15 yards closer. If you get 0 yards, you kick it again, it's easier field goal. So there's always second guessing, but I did think for half a second, like, would there be any reason you would just take the points? I'm like, no, dummy. Move the ball closer, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, Braden Fowler Nicolosi, who took over for Clay Millen, he's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, talk about him.
Yeah, he made freshman mistakes, but the one thing I liked, he came right back. He didn't let it get him down. He threw that pick six, and the very next drive, I think it was either the first or the second play, he rolls out to his left and off his back foot throws it 40 yards in the air to Lewis Brown.
Is he your guy you want the rest of the way?
Yes.
Okay, just curious. We like Clay Millen what he did last year, but it was you have a good receiver. But
we said Jay Norvell opened up the playbook. I don't know if Clay Millen makes those throws.
That's the thing I'm saying. Like, oh, like every pass last year was like under the offensive line wasn't great, but it was, how many times like, oh, it's a screen team. They throw the short pass or do something like that. And it's like, and we, I guess we're all thinking, maybe a lot of people, oh, the offensive line's not great, so you have to get rid of it quick. But I'm like, well, Troy Horton still got the ball down the field a bit last year. But if he makes the throws, and because Millen was like a dump off, short pass, all this, but he looked good. Yeah, three picks, but he had a great day. Like, he was finding the guys he's supposed to find.
And I mean, so if you look at the score sheet, it's like CU had three sacks. I think maybe one of those was legit. I think the other two was because he ran out of bounds.
Oh, you mean against CSU?
Yeah, CU only had three sacks.
Yeah, gotcha.
CSU had four, which was great.
Yeah.
Mel Kamara's a beast. He sucks that he's gone for a half against Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. Not great.
But I was like, what else? What was I trying to say? I forget what I was trying to say. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Like, this game had it all, man. Four turnovers. Like, Shadur Sanders, Colorado in the first half had not even 100 yards offense. And we're like, you would think what they've been playing, they would have a lot of, it'd be, like, the score itself at the end doesn't surprise me as that many points.
Yeah.
But even with overtime, like, going in, with it being as low scoring, and if you see, okay, it's the point total, CU has 90, not even 100 yards at halftime, total offense, like, Shadur Sanders is doing nothing passing the ball, and like, oh, they're, what's going on? Like, they were terrible on third down, Colorado, I'm saying. They had 10 penalties, CSU of freaking 17 penalties, because there's all sorts of stuff after the play too much in the first half. It's pretty chippy. So it was the yardage is different like that. I don't know if that would have cost them the game really because there's all it's whatever. But
CSU was doing really well tackling in the open field. They were all flowing to the ball because that's where a lot of CU's yards came against both TCU and Nebraska. You know, they were able to break that first tackle when no one was there.
Well, look at how many times they tried to take it on the QB for sack. They're still holding and like he's trying to move and he's break it away, but they still got him a couple of times.
And then, like, you know, I remember what I was trying to say. I was like, well, because I was on Twitter the whole time. I was watching CU fans freak out about them just throwing dinks and dunks over the middle. I was like, well, you guys are scared. Like, even Lewis Riddick mentioned it in the broadcast. It was like, they were scared of getting beat over the top, but then they couldn't keep up with the speed of CSU either.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was until that last late in the game. But I felt, let's kind of move there. So let's go back to the field goal where I'm like, Deion, you're at 4th and 2 and you kick it? What are you doing? Yeah. Or 4th and goal at 2. I'm like, that is stupid. It and whatever, doesn't matter. But I'm like, why make them go 100 yards? Like, we'll get to when CSU made Colorado do who did it. Like, make Colorado State and a new quarterback play at a crazy stadium. Like, why not make them go down? It worked out for him, but That started the – I'm like, okay, they kicked the field goal. That's great for Colorado State, obviously. And then it's like, okay, what's going on here? What are we going to – they go down and score a touchdown. I literally thought 28-17. They're up like, okay, they'll probably get this. Like, get a first down or two, and people know the end result. Field goal, okay, they're up 8. They like, just run the clock. You're good. Run the clock. Do what you're doing. Move. Get a couple first downs. And then they end up punting on with 2:06. At that point, did you think that when they punt and Colorado gets the ball to 2, they're going to win this game? Or do you want them to hold the ball to the very end because that's the only way to guarantee anything?
Well, that was the debate on – that was the other debate on the CSU boards is, like, Norvell should have gone for it there. I was like, it's 4th and 2 on the 45. It is on the plus 45, but I still don't know if you do that in that situation.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, and the punt worked out. Like, it worked out. The only reason it didn't work out because CU – score, like, okay, you can debate, maybe keep the ball, go for it, that's risky. Here's why I think, here's why I think you should have done it. There's 0% chance you would lose the game on that drive if they don't get it, which we show when they punt. There's no chance you're not going to lose. If you don't get this, there's no way you're going to lose. Well, you know what I mean? You get my point. That next drive, you can't lose the game because they get the ball in that position. There's no chance. And so, as we mentioned now, I think that would have been, despite kicking the ball to the 2-yard line, I do think going for it would have been probably the best call because there's no chance you're losing. Whatever Colorado does on that drive, there's no way you lose the game over time.
Yeah.
Depending on after, so maybe. What would you do? Sorry.
No, you're fine. I was like, I probably, like, looking back on it, I probably would have gone because, like, all right, let's say that you do get stopped, like, versus, like, what, the 40, 45 versus the 243 yards, you save 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it was like if they score as fast as they did, so there's more time that you could potentially go down the field and kick a field goal.
Yeah. Or there's 20 seconds, so you take one, like you take a shot or take a knee down or do something. I mean, do something, the overtime's coming. Like, yeah, put it that way with the score, he should have gone for it. So they do kick punt. Like, did you think the defense changed all that much on that last drive? Because they did seem to get a few different passes downfield.
A little bit. I think they sat more in zone, and I think that was the big thing. That's like Sanders took apart the zone pretty well, and like they didn't keep a spy, which I think hurt them a lot, because the first big chunk plays they got were Sanders getting out of the pocket and getting down the field. They had kept the spy in, it maybe would have helped, but CU did send five wide, so I could see why they didn't, but I kind of wish they did. I think the real killer, unfortunately, was the overtime when Norvell should have gone for two. So like, I don't think anyone would have had a problem if you didn't make it.
Yeah, it's like it's the same thing like when last year Utah played USC. I guess they're at home, so never mind. It doesn't matter. Or where were they?
No, it was at USC.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was at USC. That's what I was thinking. Like, no, because this year they're in town. Cam Rising, the game back and forth like crazy, overtime. We're going to win or lose right here. It doesn't matter. This is it. We're on the road. They have a crazy good team, great quarterback. You only need 25 yards even against their defense. Just win the game. Like, you're on the road. You win. It's over. You take care of business. Nobody cares if you lose this game, coach. The people expect you to lose the game. A lot of people, it's like, it's not, nobody's gonna fault you for doing your team well. You won it, your fans, like, okay, we're on the road. This is tough. We were up 11 points just moments ago. Thought we had the game in the bag. Let's go for the win now instead of going back and forth to an offense that's an 8 yard. Like, when, especially once you get to the 2 point, you go to, everybody starts at the 5 yard line or whatever it is, 4 yard line. Just go for it. Like, do it. Just do it, coach.
Yeah, I think we've covered enough on this one. I think we can. I would like to move on. But I will say one thing that definitely confused a lot of people, and some I didn't realize they changed as well. Do you notice CU went first both times?
I saw that because you get to pick what you want to do.
Yeah, you didn't used to. You used to alternate. Yeah.
I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, because I didn't see the rules. I just fast-forwarded and do it, so. But that is that you get to pick what you want to do. So I actually like that a bit. So real quick, not this game, but does this change your confidence level or level of what the Rams could be for the rest of the year?
Yes.
How so?
It's bowl game or bust.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, they're 0-2 right now.
I do feel CSU can win. They're underdogs to Middle Tennessee already. I mean, it's only a 2-point spread.
But it's on the road, and they're a pretty good team. Yeah.
And I think they can win that game. I think that they're going to beat Utah Tech because Utah Tech isn't that good.
FCS.
I can see 4 wins.
Yeah, like Utah State, I can see them winning. If the weird Boise team shows up, they're not great. At UNLV, yeah. Air Force, the only games I'd say they're probably not going to win, like the ones that lead toward losing the most, are probably
Air Force,
and Wyoming. Yeah, I'll keep Boise in that mix just because, like, you know, if they get things together. But yeah, Air Force, Wyoming, back-to-back. Chandler State, lower, but yeah, interesting. We'll see. Next game, we're going to wrap it up here. Okay, 2 games here. New Mexico State and Mexico. Man, I want Dylan Hopkins to be so good. I don't know if that's going to happen. Then losing 10 points to a not a great Aggies team. Like, Hopkins threw a little okay, but no, like, one touchdown, wasn't very, didn't complete a ton of passes. Their offense was just not, they couldn't score the ball. Like, they moved the ball okay running. Like, the passing was okay with Hopkins did, but for some reason that the Mexico State defense was able to field goal it up against them. And then also doesn't help you miss field goals, which is dumb. End of the game. Why are they freaking field goals? Go for the ball. Go for points, coach. There's 3 minutes left.
There was 50 seconds left. I remember there was 50 seconds left.
Go for it.
I think what he was thinking was, all right, let me get the field goal. We'll do the onside kick and then we'll force it. I was like, I do think it was the smart play because, you know, it was a two score game at that point. So take the points, go for the onside kick.
But did he miss it? Come on, you don't hold that miss, right?
What was it? How long?
29 yarder.
Well, yeah. Well, to be, like, going back to the CSU-CU game real quick, I mean, the CU kicker shanked the 30-yarder.
Oh. Yeah, I hit that one. The old guy, yeah.
No. That was Jay Feely's son.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Jay Feely. You'll probably kick him out of family, right? He can't make those kicks. He's out. But in this game, like, they go fourth and goal up 7 field goal. They fumble the ball. They turn the ball over. They're missing field goals. It was kicking field goals.
Yeah.
And New Mexico State's not good. Like, they're maybe a touch better we thought. But
I mean, to be fair, they were a bowl team last year. But
yeah, but so far they've been not impressive.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on. Do we need to include New Mexico in the best offensive line? Only 1 sack allowed?
Maybe.
You can say that.
Let me double check how many sacks New Mexico State has on the year.
Is that their first one?
Let's double check. Hold on. ESPN stat pages aren't always the best.
No, CFB stats only.
No, they have 5. Okay. Go to ESPN, they have 5.
So that's about their average. But in this game, there's not too much. It's Lobos. So let's give some positive things he did. Like, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt ran the ball a bit well. He had 5 yards of carry. Dylan Hopkins wasn't terrible, just under 50%. That's the only problem. Defense only we say it funny. Oh, they gave him 27 points. That's a great defense. It's actually not too bad. Like, New Mexico State couldn't move the ball on third down ever. They didn't turn the ball over, so that didn't help the Lobos defense there to do their thing. But the way this game ended was that Lobos defense second quarter failed them miserably with 17 points, and that's kind of what happened. And overall, like, there's a little bit we're seeing, but, dude, you got to beat New Mexico State if you're going to show some improvement here, Coach Gonzalez, because you might be sitting on that hot burner pretty soon.
Yeah.
Final game.
Hey. Well, do we have
three more? Oh, sorry, actually. Wait, 3 more? Did I miss that mirror? Oh, crap.
Missed Hawaii, Oregon.
There's no 55-10. That's all I need to know. Terrible. Moving on. Sorry.
Just figured we should at least mention it.
My screen. Again, I always tell Matt, why do I use ESPN.com for random stuff to check box scores? I should go somewhere else where it's more reliable. I always skip around and miss things, as you probably know, listeners. Fresno State, Arizona State. And then we have Kansas Nevada. We'll make it quick here. We can wrap it up. Fresno State, 29-0. Are they your number one team, Josh, in the power
rankings? Yes. Absolutely, yes. I mean, that's 2 P5 wins. I don't care if Arizona State was missing half their starters. That's 2 P5 wins.
It is.
And it's a shutout.
For probably the best defense of the conference. Yeah, this game was – I'm looking like, okay, 10-0, 16-0. Like, the offense was being workmanlike out there. But the defense, 5 sacks, 5 TFLs, 4 pass breakups. We can include Josh, the worst offensive line could be with Fresno potentially.
Yeah, 6 sacks.
6 sacks and 8 TFLs. So that's not great.
Arizona State had 8 turnovers.
I know, we even mentioned that. I forgot that I saw it in the league, like 8.
5 interceptions and 3 fumbles.
Is that +8 like one of the biggest in a long time?
That has to. We could probably tweet somebody and ask.
Hey, let us know. But they put it in. They brought in Drew Pine. Where was he at last year? Notre Dame?
I think so.
You had Jacob Conover, who was like QB4 at BYU, came because Dillingham used to be like his high school coach or something. All throw picks. Trent Bergot, if that's how you say his name. 1.6 yards rushing for Arizona State. This game, I have a question. You're +8 and only win by this margin? Why are you not winning 50-0, Fresno State? That's a slight concern, right? If you're +8, you don't score 29 points.
What did they touchdown?
Three field goals off turnovers. Missed a field goal.
Touchdown.
2 missed field goals.
Missed field goal, punt, field goal, punt.
12
punt.
Points off turnovers. That's it.
Yeah.
That's not great. Like, the Arizona State defense did provide some resistance when it was getting close to on those third and fourth down situations.
Yeah.
As far as 8-19. So that is something where you might keep a little caution, but this game was just a nice blowout. Eric Brooks had a solid game. You had Elijah Gilliam do reasonably well, but the running game overall, I guess it's Zach yardage, but 3.5 yards of carry is not great. Malik Sherrod did pretty good, but I'm waiting to see. I want to see what Fresno State can do when they get a conference play, because they're 3-0, I think they should be ranked. I don't care. Like, I don't care who's out. But they go to Kent State next week, so they should be fine. Nevada, that Fresno-Wyoming game on the road will be quite interesting in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it definitely will.
All right, final game of the weekend. I'm safe to say, right? Kansas, Nevada. Is that right? Are we good?
Yes. Yes.
Who on 1 to 10? What's more shocking? That okay? I know your answer, but if you look at the two games, Colorado State, Colorado, Kansas, Nevada, I'm gonna say that Kansas, Nevada is more shocking that it was that close.
Oh, absolutely. Hold on. I think there were turnover issues in this game too. Well, it was only two. Like. Nevada fumbled 5 times and only lost none.
It's good for them. Yeah, zero fumbles. Wow. They had no turnovers. Zero plus one, baby.
Yeah.
But hold on to the dang ball, guys. It's like, yikes, that's some extreme fumble luck that will probably, who knows if it'll change later.
I do think part of the thing was, for Kansas at least, coming to the Pacific timeline, I know we keep going back to CU, CSU, but one of the things that Norvell did was, so CSU usually has practice at 8 in the morning. What he did instead was have practice at 8 at night. And I kind of want to know what Kansas did. Like, were they just not prepared for how late this game was?
Yeah, I've done that before. Like, when I was in college, the swim team, we'd have random Saturday morning meets, but we always practice like late afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock. So, okay. We'll do a couple Saturday stuff, just trying to get in the groove to figure that out when that time comes. But yeah, because it was what, 8:30 Pacific time.
Yeah, and
but Kansas is only one time zone. Oh, I guess two. Yeah, it'd be 10:30. Thinking Kansas is so west, but
central.
I meant they're so like within the central time zone, they're west. Yeah. Sorry, my mistake. No, but overall, like. Kansas, okay, it's 10-10 halftime. Again, same thing with San Jose State. Third quarter, not great. Giving up 14 points. And they moved the ball okay. Like, that when they went all those touchdowns in that third quarter, it was getting pretty exciting there. But it was just, when you look at what we want to see, you got Brendan Lewis as the quarterback, where he, like, Nevada didn't put up a ton of, like, he scored, had no touchdowns, but he was reasonably efficient, but no downfield. Like, he was only 100-plus yards. Like, he ran it for 50, but, like, he did get those two rushing touchdowns, which were huge. But if they're going to want him to actually be a player and throw the ball, you got to do a bit. What does Nevada want to be, Josh? Like, I don't think they're too much of a old running team before, like, with Chris Hall and stuff and before, like, the pistol and different things, but.
I don't think they know. I mean, we'd have to ask Brandon, but I don't think they know what they want to be.
That's a good point. And hey, if you don't know what you are and you almost beat a pretty good team, that's not the worst thing in the world.
What do you mean? So, I mean, I'm looking at the game cast right now for the game. Kansas had a win probability, but the lowest win probability they had was 73.2%.
Well, think of it. They never trailed on this game, right?
No, I believe it was tied.
Tied, that's it.
Yeah. So this is actually kind of funny looking at all the touchdowns.
Yeah.
All of them, except for one, were under 5 yards.
I did not know.
Kansas 3 yard run, Nevada 3 yard run, Kansas 1 yard run, Nevada 6 yard run, Kansas 1 yard run, Nevada 2 yard run, Kansas 3 yard run.
Yeah, that's tough. But then if we go to the end, so they have to do the Colorado thing as well. They're at the 1 yard line, go 99 yards. That did not end well. That's hard, right? Like, yeah. they only moved the 20 yards out there. And then that's this performance, I like it because, like, we talked about buddy Brandon Blake, who does our Nevada stuff, like, if we know who they are. But Kansas should be pretty good. They're undefeated. They have Jalen Daniels, amazing quarterback. They have good running backs as well, like, all first-team Big 12 type of guys. So this result's nice for them. It's good. Dude, they lost by 2-plus touchdowns to Idaho last week.
I this doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry, I'm glossing at something else.
What do you got?
They had going back to the CSU Nevada game last year, they had 18,000 something people there for that game. You know, okay. It's a revenge game, whatever, they're all hyped up for it.
Yeah.
Like, no one shows up. I don't know how accurate this is.
Oh, the attendance?
Yes. ESPN lists attendance 100%. At 44,000 for a 30,000 seat stadium.
That's not 100%. That's like 120%. That's 133%. Essentially.
That's almost 150%.
Yeah, I just keep going up. Yeah, like, wait a minute, 30. Yeah, it's Who are they selling tickets to, Pete, there?
Yeah, I don't.
That is hilarious. But, yeah, that's funny. But this is a good showing for them because I was expecting them to lose like 48-6. And so keeping it one touchdown, nice.
I don't think Kansas is. What are they? Kansas is 3-0.
Yeah. They're okay. I don't think they're as good as people thought, but they're still. They beat Illinois, which.
Illinois is not that good.
Yeah, Missouri State, yeah.
We'll see what happens next week when they play BYU, and then they got to play Texas.
Yeah. So they're not bad, but for Nevada's purposes, I'm fine with
this. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Anything else to add to our slate of games? Thank you for helping out this week, too, man.
No, I think we're all good. We just got to, I think. I don't think we can I know we were joking about determining best O-line, but I think we got to wait for conference play for that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, everybody's giving up sacks for the most part, all these teams. So, all right, man. Thanks for joining here. Everybody, thanks for listening. MWR.com. Find all of our stuff we write about, everything we do. It's Josh does some bet stuff, CSU stuff, some bowl projections or bowl darts I make later today. So we'll see how that goes. And, yeah, just everybody, thanks for listening. And we'll – get you next time when we preview all these games. It's week 4 is next.